Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are brought to you by you, the fan. I'm your host, Ralph Malbro. We'll have one extra podcast. We had it one this month. We had the drunk history of me and Dave. You'll get one more draft preview that we'll do. It'll probably be me, Andrew, and Brian. And we'll yell at each other about the draft. But anyway, welcome to tonight's show. The Saints actually made news, but Kevin, our number one rule on this podcast is the jokes come first above all else. And there's nothing...
Priorities.
There's nothing funnier than Junior Gallette and beaches.
I just want to know, was he wearing...
The beaches?
No, just the beach in general. So, Kevin, what were you going to ask?
I said I just want to know if he was wearing white again.
Dave, have you broken it down like the Zapruder film yet of the incident where he...
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, to be
Junior
honest.
Junior Gallette punched.
Oh, wow.
Man, Dave, you need to keep up with your Junior Gallette news. See, I have a feed that goes right to my phone. Whenever Junior does something, he gets arrested or he posts on social media, I get alerted. You apparently don't, but Junior Gallette apparently punched a dude on spring break and ran away. Hashtag cut
the
check.
At least he hit a man this time and not a woman.
We don't know that for sure, actually. But yeah, it was in Biloxi. First of all, what is he doing in Biloxi on spring break?
Yeah.
Gambling.
But he hit a dude and ran away, and the cops chased him down and arrested him.
Awesome. Is he even signed with any team? He's not on Washington anymore, right? They released him.
I don't know.
I think he's a Redskin, isn't he?
Is he?
I thought they were.
What was his 40 time when he was running away?
Was he using a... What, did he blow out an Achilles again? Because that's likely with Junior.
Yeah, because listen, if he was running on the sand, that's a pretty tough slog.
That's dangerous.
He re-signed with the Redskins in February.
Well, that'll be short-lived, I'm sure. So he ran away from the cops, so not only is he going to get in trouble for the actual crime, but then he's also going to get trouble for running away, too.
Andrew,
yeah, I believe the charge, hold on, let me pull this up and I can give you, he's arrested for disorderly conduct following a fight.
Nice. Andrew, fun.
I wonder if he was bailed out by Mickey Loomis.
Andrew, fun question that's kind of football related. Who has more sacks this year, Junior Gallette or Kikaha for the Saints?
Oh, Kikaha.
Junior Gallette may not even ever play another NFL game.
Neither may Kikaha. And while Kikaha might not either. That's not me. You sure about that?
But, you know, you know what this does, though? It certainly reinforces the decision that the Saints made to get rid of him, regardless of how much it cost them. I mean, the dude is just a grade A fucking moron. And I'm glad that they parted ways and got rid of that cancer.
If there's a worse contract ever given out by the Saints, I'd like to know it. Like the Junior Gallette.
Not Jarris Bird.
Jarris Bird, if he would
have... Like Jarris Bird's contract is borderline amazing compared to Junior Gallette.
Like Bird, if he
it's practically a good deal.
It is. I can't think. I mean, like in Kevin is, I mean, like if you factor in draft picks and transactions and contracts, is there one worse than Gallette? I mean, it's tough.
Well, hang on. Now, if you're asking me to factor in draft picks, wouldn't Ricky Ricky's count?
Ricky gave him 2,000 yard years.
Ricky, at least
Jason David's deal.
And they flipped. And they flipped Ricky for two number ones.
I would say Jonathan Sullivan.
Oh yeah, that's
two that's ones. Bad. Yeah.
Or that dude that they signed a dude, I forget his name, in 68. He was that before the NFL allowed free agency, the Saints just went ahead and did it and signed some dude that his contract was up with the 49ers, and the NFL penalized them two number one picks for doing it. So
who did those two number one picks end up being?
Well, one of them ended up being a bust because the NFL just – it was a Saints player. It was a linebacker, Levy, that the Saints picked, and they just gave him to San Francisco. He was a flop. But I think the other pick ended up being really good. But I can't remember. That's bad. But, I mean, Junior Gallet's up there. So, speaking of controversial moves of players that are off the field – issues. The Saints are having Adrian Peterson in for. He's coming in tonight. He's having a visit tomorrow. He'll probably be agreed to terms as soon as I upload this podcast. I'll give you the floor first, Kevin, because you are vehemently opposed to this. Can you lay out the is it on field or is it just fuck that guy? Why don't you?
It's based. Listen, I'll get the summation out off field right now. Running backs, they have a very short shelf life. I don't think he has much left in the tank, period. That's that on the field opinion. Off the field, Adrian Peterson can go fuck himself. And to be honest, if I was in the same room with the guy, I would probably leave the room. I wouldn't even want to be in the same room as the guy. Come to think of it, I would probably debate even walking up to him in his face and saying very calmly, not even yelling it, and just saying, I think you're a fucking asshole, man. Listen, I got into it on Twitter with, I believe it was Monadula, our friend from the Netherlands.
I love Monadula, but you argue with him, man. And it's just, it's like, it gets weird. And it's not, it just gets weird because something doesn't, it's like things don't trend. Like, I feel like sometimes you're talking about, it feels like you'll be talking about politics with Monadula and he's talking about traffic. Like, it's just weird. And I like Monadula. He's a good guy and he's fun.
Oh, no.
But the conversations get tricky. We love you, man.
No. I like Monadula a lot too. Like, I kind of feel like sometimes it's like arguing with my brother because there are times where I just want to like grab him and just like shake the hell out of him. And just say, understand me for God's sake. And then it's just like, all right,
we're cool.
But here's the deal. He starts getting in on me. Hang on. I can turn off the speaker now.
I still can't believe the Netherlands just unearthed the most amazing Saints fan.
Yeah, it's great. So
awesome.
Whenever I finally visit to go to the red light district, I'm going to stay with Monadula. I'll make a blog post about that.
We need a live tweet and night out with Monadula.
Yeah. He comes in on me and he's just like, man, you know, Adrian Peterson like said he was abused himself as a kid, and that's just like a learned behavior and da 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 da. And I said, okay, well, listen, there comes a point in life where you as an adult kind of have to get past your shit as a child. Now, does that mean that you suddenly like wake up and it's like anything you experience as a child, any traumatic shit is suddenly gone or the switch is turned off? No.
And you use the word switch there.
Yeah.
It was well done.
Yeah.
Well played.
But this is, it's there. I know people who have been abused in different varieties who didn't do the same thing. I know people who have, you know, if the grandparent had something or the parents had something or some adult that they had did something to them, they did not do it to somebody else down the line. So I think it's like Adrian, it's like you're a fucking adult. You're an adult. And somebody somewhere should have just, somebody somewhere had to intervene before this even became a legal issue.
Kevin.
And it's like, listen, the ignorance thing, or the, well, that's just how he was raised. Yeah, well, you know what? Fine, you were raised that way. Well, we were also raised that if you beat a fucking child, you're going to jail.
Well, here's my thing, Kevin.
You should be in jail.
Is
he took a fucking stick and whacked a child with it and ripped the child's scrotum.
A lot of people, man.
I don't want.
Wait. What? It ripped the child's scrotum?
He fucking whacked the kid so hard that this fucking stick, like, whacked the kid in the genitals and, like, tore skin on the kid's genitals.
Oh, God.
I don't want that Donatello Mutant Ninja Turtle motherfucker within 100 miles.
Of the, so you're
miles.
That's
and Kevin is the only one of us, of the four of us, who isn't a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
how that on its fucking ear?
I didn't know about
How's about this?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, you who is no longer married, doesn't have kids, arguably goes through days of the week where you don't even like children. Weigh in on the guy who beat his fucking toddler kid with a stick.
Well, no, I had you go
and
first.
And I'm the guy that says we ought to throw this motherfucker, we ought to throw this cocksucker into a goddamn fighting pit with a fucking alligator.
This is a good time to remind everybody we need their donations because we're never going to get a corporate sponsor.
I don't know.
Fuck! Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You know, guys, we really wanted to throw some money at you, but the guy who came out against Adrian Peterson
he got a little loose.
That was a bridge too far. Meanwhile, let's throw $10 or $15 million to Kylie Jenner or whoever the fuck she is and have her hand a fucking can of Pepsi to a cop. And let's get in on that clusterfuck.
Hey,
or better yet,
United.
Better yet, let's fucking advertise with United.
Hey, United, we could turn you around. We could turn that PR around.
For 100 grand,
we could turn it around. We could get you PR that will fix that whole beating a passenger senseless and dragging them off. We'll fix that. We fix that for 500 grand. I guarantee you. You sponsor this podcast, we'll make people stop talking about that.
Whenever this thing gets tweeted out, you need to seriously at United.
We have solutions. We've delivered results.
We have delivered results. So, United, you give the podcast 500 grand, and you give me enough money to get wrestling gear. And we'll make things happen.
Well, here's the thing. Back to Adrian Peterson, that I think there's the strongest argument, and this is how I feel about Mixon. So the way, Kevin, you feel about Peterson, and you kind of lean me. I didn't realize the thing with the scrotum, that kind of – I was like a soft no. Now I'm like, no, you can't do it. I don't want him on the team. But the thing is, like, Kevin, I don't care if he can be really good or whatever. I just don't want to root for him because I don't want him to score a touchdown and then need to take a shower after. That's a fair – position to have, and I think you can.
Yeah.
I think you convinced me, Dave. How do you feel about Adrian Peterson?
I've been pretty good, and I'm not saying I agree with Kevin as far as off the field social issues, but I do have the ability to separate football and off the field stuff. I mean, if I was really just a Saints fan and I just wanted the team to win, I don't think it would be a terrible addition. I'm assuming he's not going to make that much money. It's so late in free agency. So he's not going to get a huge payday. And I think at his age and with his injury history, the Saints might be a good fit because they're not going to use him as a bell cow. You know, he's not going to be the featured back. He's just going to come in sporadically.
He can't be any worse than Hightower, right?
No. I think he would be an upgrade over Hightower for sure. But I don't think he's not going to be your starting running back.
Andrew.
He should be lucky to be washing fucking dishes.
Andrew, if he doesn't sign with the Saints, like, I feel like if Green Bay or the Saints don't sign him where they're good fits, I think, like, where's he going to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I just want to say I think – on the field, the Saints need a replacement for Hightower. So whether that's Adrian Peterson or some other guy, they need to fill that hole. So if it's Adrian Peterson, so be it. I mean, I agree with what Kevin and Dave said. I mean, you know, I think some of us, many of us grew up in a household where we were belted as kids when we misbehaved. And I don't think it necessarily means that our parents are bad people because that happened. I've never laid a finger on my kids personally. And I think it's wrong, but, I don't know. I mean, just the switch thing in particular seemed pretty violent with him, but he's paid his dues. I mean, he spent some time in jail. I mean, I'm sure child services are all over him now. He had to sit out a year in the NFL, the public scrutiny, all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm hoping and assuming he's changed his ways. And if he hasn't, I feel like he would be caught pretty easily and quickly and never be given a second chance, a third chance again.
Is it a fit, you know, because I see people.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it a fit scheme-wise? I mean, we need a replacement for Hightower. And I think Peterson's a guy that can run between the tackles. He can catch the football. He can block. You know, Hightower was kind of a do-it-all, master of none, jack of all trades back. And I think, well, Peterson at one time was the best running back in the NFL, but I still think he's kind of a jack of all trades type back that can fit in this offense.
Yeah,
so,
but
I think as long as the investment isn't exorbitant, and I don't think it would be, I'm kind of for it.
Yeah, but here's the thing: like, if they can have Peterson. Or they can have Mixon. They can't fucking have both. Okay? I can't have two horrible people. I can't be cheering for two horrible running backs. I can't.
Mixon has a history of beating women. And that, you know, a child versus women, I mean, you can argue. It's one thing when it's discipline. It's another when it's like, you know, abuse. I mean, you could argue that it's the same, actually. But I think at the end of the day, for me, with Peterson, I don't need to root for model citizens. Like, I make the separation there that, like, I can't expect every athlete on the Saints to be Drew Brees off the field. And I'm okay with that. You know, as long as it's, they don't go all Darren Sharper on people or Junior Gallette, like, I'm okay with having a couple questionable eggs. And at this point, that's kind of, I think Adrian Peterson, you know, he regrets what he did, and it sounds like he's cleaned up his act. So I'm willing to give it a try.
Do you think? But I'll start with you, Andrew, and then we can go around the horn real quick. Do you think they're going to sign him?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty rare when the Saints express interest and they have a guy in for a visit. I'd say it's 50-50 at worst that they end up getting the guy.
Dave.
So I think
I'm with Andrew.
Kevin.
Nope.
You don't think that's not I hope that Kevin, it's going to be our nightmare. Me and you, our nightmare is Mixon and Peterson, the all criminal backfield.
You guys I have
a question.
I think Mixon's worse, but I think they might do both. I think they might sign Peterson and draft Mixon in the third round. That's the YOLO that's bad. That's the Jim Haslett sign all the criminals because we got to win now YOLO. That never works out. Go ahead, Dave.
Wait, I had a question for Kevin. Kevin, just a short answer, but I know that you love dogs too, probably more than kids. So who what's worse, Adrian Peterson or Michael Vick? I knew that would be a tough one for one.
I honestly don't know, because let me tell you something. I think
Vic
I would
gotta be worse. Come on.
I think let me tell you.
Adrian Peterson didn't set up a daycare where he gave 50 kids lashes.
We don't know that for sure.
Yeah,
we don't.
But here's the thing. I'll say this. I'm just maybe in the past year, I've gotten comfortable with the idea that I would let Michael Vick in my house.
I wouldn't.
How's that?
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Exactly. Basically, like, And look, the dog's sitting on my couch, like looking at, like the dog's judging me. He knows. He reads the papers. Don't judge me. I had people after he got out of jail. I was flipping out for years on Mike Vick, like I'm doing now on Adrian Peterson. And people kept telling me he's paid his debt to society. He went to jail. Da da da. Well, you know, not gonna forgive the guy. Not gonna forget about that. Not really gonna welcome him. So he can go fuck himself. I'm past the point where I can tell Mike Vick to fuck himself and just say, well, you did a very deplorable and disgraceful thing, and I hope that you wake up every goddamn day for the rest of your life knowing that what you did was wrong and that you feel guilt and remorse for it.
But Kevin, I mean, serious question.
For the short answer.
If Mike Vick and or Adrian Peterson, I mean, understanding that we will never know this, but if you could somehow be guaranteed in the future that they would never do that ever again for the rest of their life, and generally speaking, do good for the community, does that help you forgive them?
You're getting deep.
You're getting deep. Kevin carries grudges like elephants.
Here's the thing.
That's what I'm trying to get at. How deep is this grudge?
I can't bring draft analysis, so this is the sort of shit that I do bring.
That's right.
Crazy-ass philosophical conundrums. That's what I bring to the table. And righteous anger.
That's right. And you know what? People, you love the righteous anger because we set an all-time record for the biggest march we've ever had. We had 52,000 of you motherfuckers download this podcast in March.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we said...
What if Adrian Peterson not only never hits a kid again for the rest of his life, but does enough
actions... He gives a kidney to an orphan.
He gives a kidney to an orphanage, and then not only that, but he impacts enough people that 57 kids over the course of his life end up not getting hit because of something he said to someone.
57, that's a low number.
Hey, I like that butterfly effect.
I like that you just threw out a random fucking number like that. I mean, listen, I can only hope that Peterson does something like that, or the opportunity presents itself and he's smart enough or wise enough or good enough. I don't know, whatever, to take the opportunity to do something good like that. So, okay.
Yeah. This one's odd because the thing is I disagree with Kevin in the sense of I think Adrian Peterson, he'll be like 15 to 20% better than Tim Hightower. So he's going to be good wherever he goes if he goes to the right fit. And I'd rather not root for that, you know, if I had my brother. It's not as bad a crime as what Adrian Peterson did, Dave, but I feel like it is un-American. And that is the Saints, when they play in London, the kickoff's at 8:30. I feel like that's horrible. Un-American.
Great transition.
What's that?
I said great transition.
It is. And I feel like it's things
it
like –
It was very good.
I don't like the 8:30 kickoff. At least LSU doesn't play a real game. They play Troy State the night before, so I won't be blotto from that. But I don't like – I want my football at noon. I don't want my football at 8:30. Am I a bad person?
But you're going to be up anyway. Your kid's going to wake you up. You guys are both going to be
up anyway.
No, the wife
gets up with the kid. The wife on Sunday – on the weekend, the wife lets me sleep in and takes care of the kid. So I'm going to be up. I wouldn't be up regularly. I'd be passed out, hungover from a weekend.
Isn't it nice to be you?
It is. It's real nice.
What about Everton, though?
Well, that's the thing, too. Now the Saints will be playing and Everton could be playing in it simultaneously. But Everton...
You'd be up anyway.
Well, the thing is, though, if Everton plays at 6 a.m., I just DVR the game, and when I wake up, I just try to stay off Twitter and watch.
Yeah, right. You stay off Twitter.
I know. So I'm the only one. You people are fine with this blasphemous 8:30 a.m. kickoff.
You Hell asked me the question, and then I was giving my answer, and then you all just interrupted me.
Mimosas, Bloody Marys.
I don't necessarily.
You guys just hate it because it's different.
No, you know what? You know what? I don't hate it. I'm okay with it. It's fine. It'll be good.
Yeah, you'll have the rest of the day to do whatever you want with your kids.
Well, but
it'll be over at like noon.
They usually watch TV in the morning when they get up, so I might have to fight with. They're not going to want to watch football, so now I'm going to have to fight with them about.
I'm pretty sure Casa de Cariello has more than one TV.
Yeah, all right, you're right. Yeah.
Casa de Cariello going to be saving a lot of money because ain't paying no school tuition for a year.
I saw that.
Dave.
Yeah, how I hit often, the jackpot.
Dave, how often do you fight with your kids over football watching?
Never, honestly. Dylan wants to go to all the Saints games, home Saints games with me this year. So I think I'm going to take him to all the noon games.
If I can get my,
which I'm excited about.
If I can get my kid to like the Saints 30% as much as he does Speedy Gonzalez cartoons, he'll be the most diehard Saints fan that ever was.
Speedy, I can't. What do you? You show it to Speedy Gonzalez on YouTube on the computer?
I downloaded them, and he watches them on the iPad, and he loves them.
Man, I haven't seen
it. It must be his half Mexican heritage.
It is, and a thing I didn't realize until my wife, she told me.
My wife,
like Speedy Gonzalez, the Spanish that they mix in is like crazy. It's like talking about Speedy Gonzalez smoking dope and all kinds of weird drinking things that like people. I guess they in the 50s and 60s, like people didn't realize what it was, but now it's like all these hidden jokes that my wife and her mom will just die laughing at.
So it's Speedy Gonzalez laced with thinly veiled references to alcohol and drugs. If that's not a Marlboro kid written all over it.
Father of the year. Father of the year I am. Speaking of addictions,
Here comes another good segue.
Here's the thing. Like, for years, Andrew had been like, you got to do the mock draft tool. You pay like $6 and you could do mock drafts. You could trade. And I was like, I got to stay away from that. I got to stay away from that and not do that because I will just do 100 mock drafts a day. And I stayed away from it for years. But this past weekend, my wife was ill and I was having to take care of her and the baby. And when I finally had some time, I downloaded it, and it is I'm addicted, Juge, to mock drafts. I think it did about like a dozen.
I tried to tell you.
It is. But here's the thing that was interesting, Kevin. Granted, it's a computer, so it's not real life, but whenever it gets to 11, there's like a 60% chance every mock draft I do, Kevin, because either the quarterbacks fall and some team like the Texans or Kansas City goes apeshit and wants to move to 11 to get one of the good quarterbacks, or some random top six player falls because all the quarterbacks get taken, and you have like Green Bay and Dallas freaking out because Lattimore's at 11 or a defensive end that Dallas wants, like Allen. And I get like these, Kevin, it's like the dream trade offers. Yesterday I did a draft. Dallas offered me their second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick to move from 28 or whatever Dallas picks, 28, I think, from 28 to 11. So, Kevin, I'm thinking like this, if it doesn't happen this year, it's never fucking happening. And it's only like a 10% chance that the Saints would trade down. But are we fooling ourselves again into believing that it's possible, Kevin?
You're asking the wrong guy if we're fooling ourselves, because I believe every time that this is finally the year. It's like I'm the Saints fan with the pre 2000 Saints fan with about the playoffs. It's just like, man, this is the year. This is the year we draft 10 players, and three of them really pan out. And this is what that this is going to sign a brand new age, a brand new era of smart drafting and stocking up draft picks, and we'll be loaded for a generation.
I think Mickey Loomis is still furious that he's failed in packaging the 32nd and 11th overall to move up.
To get to Cleveland.
I think he's pissed that he hasn't been able to execute that trade pre-draft.
Well, here's my question to you, Jude. What is the player that if he falls to like 7, but like if he gets to 6, me and Kevin need to launch the trade up panic siren on the Twitters because it's likely to happen. Like, what player is that guy where me and
I don't know that these guys are way up the Saints board, but I think the two guys that you would watch for are definitely Marshon Lattimore. He's kind of viewed by most as the best corner in the draft out of Ohio State. And then the other guy's Solomon Thomas of Stanford. I would say that he's a guy that is a defensive end. The Saints desperately need one. I don't love him as a fit for the Saints just because, to me, on third down, he's a guy you kick back inside. And, they have Sheldon Rankins and Fairley who can play on third down. So I'm not sure that he fits as good as a speed edge guy, which he is not. But he could potentially fit as a defensive end. And he's highly rated. So those are kind of the two that I would be scared of dropping where the Saints would be like, hey, we can move up two spots and give up a king's ransom. Let's do it.
Here's a third. Dave, you are Mr. Negative on Malcolm Butler's never going to be a Saint. Boo. But I feel like your negativity is going to be proven right in this scenario. But not talk about Malcolm Butler. But on the draft, like what are you looking at going, God, I besides like a what's your nightmare scenario for the Saints in the draft? You don't have to give me like a player because a specific player that doesn't really, you could be right or wrong, but what's like a scenario that you would like as they were announcing it, you'd be like, no, don't do that.
I think you've asked this question before.
I have.
And you know me and Kev, we're besties in the trade up hatred. So if they were if the number 4 or 5 pick rolls around and the guy says there has been a trade, the New Orleans Saints have traded up with whoever has got whatever pick, that's my doomsday for sure.
I think doomsday is Cleveland decides they want to trade out a number 1 and they offer teams a discount. And they're like, "Hey Saints, we'll do 11 and 32 in your 2018 number 1. That's like a 400-point discount off what it would really be. You should do that." And the Saints are like, "He's right, that's a good deal." Like that's all right.
I do think you'd probably have a better chance of seeing the Saints trade down with the 32nd pick, just because awareness.
It's not going to happen.
I think, I think you, first of all, you just have, coaches or general managers or whatever that are just getting that itch and they just have to get their guy on that before the end of the day and they got to wait till next year. And then also, I think with that first round pick, I think you get that 50-year contract option.
Yeah. If the Saints,
only for a first-round guy. So that gives you another incentive to pick a guy in the first round.
If the Saints don't move up at least once in this draft, Kevin, you can pick the song. I'll sing the first verse. Because there is no way.
I'll sing the whole song.
There is no way on God's green earth Mickey Loomis is letting the 4th and 5th round pass without making a pick. I am certain of that, as certain as I am that I will be drunk this Saturday, because I'm drunk every Saturday. I'm just telling you, man. You think Mickey Loomis is gonna go 70 picks without making a selection? You're out of your fucking mind, is what you are. All right, we got to get to the best corner in Saints history. This sad tournament just drags on like a puppy looking for its owner.
What is this? The Elite Eight? The quarterfinals?
This is the Elite Eight.
So 4 matchups.
Yeah. So we got Andrew, we got number 4 Jabari Greer versus number 12 recently free agent.
Wait, did you just skip Dave Wehmer?
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah. I did. We'll get to that in a second. Dave Wehmer, okay. The number one seed versus Fred Thomas, the number nine seed. Who you got?
Who are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you. Who you got?
Fred Thomas has gotten a raw deal with Saints fans based on his last couple years. I think he's made it far enough, Dave Wehmer.
Dave Wehmer for me too. Kevin, who you got?
Dave Wehmer.
Dave.
Ditto. It was nice that Fred made it all this way. But.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin, this is interesting. We got number four, C. Jabari Greer, versus number 12, Tracy Porter, recently free agent Tracy Porter.
Tracy Porter.
The guys who played together.
Tracy Porter.
And made it all happen.
So, Tracy Porter.
I'm going
Greer. I think from a technical football aspect, I think Greer was just overall a better player.
I think we need to bring Tracy Porter.
Let me ask you something, Dave.
They need to re-sign Tracy Porter.
Dave, let me ask you something. Did Jabari Greer intercept Brett goddamn Favre at the very end of regulation in the NFC Championship game, thus preserving the chance to go to overtime, in which the Saints would win that game and go to the Super Bowl? And furthermore, Jabari Greer intercept one Peyton Manning of the formerly of the Indianapolis Colts
never
said interception for a touchdown, thus effectively clinching the city's only major championship in major sports history. Thus, and also further embarrassing Phil Simms on a national stage to the point that people would actually consider one day replacing him with a half-brained Tony Romo.
Yes, which is delightful, I think.
No, that wasn't, but probably because he never really had the opportunity because he was covering his guy so well and they never threw to him.
Andrew, who you got?
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
but seriously,
on that
Peyton Manning play, that was a wide receiver, the two Colts wide receivers. I mean, they had a little crossing route or whatever, and Porter they had seen it before earlier in the game, and he made a great pick, but it was just he was the one that happened to be in position at that time. But had Greer been in that situation, I think he would have done the same thing, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, listen. Tracy Porter had a memorable moment in franchise history, maybe the most memorable, and you know
moments.
he deserves to be enshrined just like Steve Gleason. that doesn't make them the best Saints players of all time, and it's kind of like how I view. You wouldn't say Garrett Hartley, who hit three 40-yard field goals in the Super Bowl, you wouldn't say he's better than Morton Anderson was as a kicker just because he played great in the Super Bowl and he made the game-winning kick against the Vikings. So I pick Greer.
I pick Greer too, Andrew. You convinced me. But I want the Saints to re-sign Tracy Porter because if they're bringing
hate all three of you.
Because if they're bringing Chase Daniel back and they're bringing Raphael Bush back, they can bring Tracy Porter back too. We're getting the band back together. Let's see. Andrew, number two, Dave Witzel. Number 10, Ashley Ambrose. This bracket is so fucking sad.
Yeah. This is easy for me. It's Dave Witzel. Witzel is fifth all-time in Saints history in interceptions, despite only playing for the Saints three seasons.
That's so sad. That is
He
so
only played three years,
sad.
And that was good enough for fifth all-time. But the reason he did it was because he had 10, 6, and 3 interceptions, respectively. He led the league with 10 picks in 1967 and made the Pro Bowl. So I'm going with Witzel.
I guess he was bald. I'll go with him too. Dave, who you got?
Yeah, got to go with Witzel.
Kevin?
Witzel.
All right. Dave, we got Mike McKenzie, the 3 seed. Toy Cook, the 6 seed.
I'm not as familiar with Toy as I am with Mike. But How many years did McKenzie play for the Saints?
That's a good one.
6 years.
Wow, six.
Oh, it was that long? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go with McKenzie. I mean, in all six of those years, he was at worst serviceable. You know, he was never a guy that he you know, you talk about Toy Cook and his nickname was Toast.
Yeah.
I mean, McKenzie was never ever even close to being bad enough to earn some sort of disrespectful nickname.
Hang on. Wait a minute. What seed was Toy Cook?
Toy Cook was a 6 seed. That's how sad this tournament
and
is.
And he was Toast. Jesus Christ. God damn, what a historically shit position for this franchise.
It is of all the positions, it is the shittiest by far.
And coming back to the team and playing off the street at the Patriots game and the against Brady, that just seals the deal.
I will say this for Mike McKenzie, you know, people who love to take a move the Saints did in their past when they're thinking about doing a present move and say, oh, they did that in the past and so it failed, so they should never do it again. Mike McKenzie, actually, if you want to say the Malcolm Butler move, trading a second round pick for a corner and then giving him a big extension, is a good idea. Mike McKenzie is the example.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. Yeah. So I'll vote McKenzie. McKenzie's really good. He's a sneaky guy who can win this tournament.
Yeah, I'm going with McKenzie too. You know, Toy Cook, I would say his best year was maybe better than McKenzie's. And Cook is 7th all time in picks with 16. McKenzie is 10th all time with 13.
I need to dub Sarah McLachlan music in the background when we do this bracket.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus Christ.
But the thing about Cook is that his front seven was the Dome Patrol.
Yeah.
And if he was playing on the Saints today,
we'd hate him.
If his nickname was Toast, Dave, goddamn, stop. If his nickname was Toast with the Dome Patrol,
why do you know the lyrics?
What would his nickname be now?
Why do you know the lyrics to Sarah Nuke?
McLachlan?
He knows. Have you seen Sarah McLachlan in concert, Dave? Be honest.
You knew too many of them words, son.
Wait, I got one more line you gotta finish.
All right, now you're just mumbling.
Oh my God. I'll never get that back.
So we have a final four of the seeds went through. We have we'll do it next week, but we have Dave Wehmer 1, Jabari Greer 4, Dave Witzel 2, Mike McKenzie 3. We got a bracket that held to form. Congratulations.
Hey, we got chalk.
We got chalk. Congratulations, Jude. Not only did you do a hell of a job picking them with a little bit of my help, you did an awesome job seeding it, and you did that all by yourself. So props to you. You're a great committee for these tournaments. You do a good job seeding. All right.
Yeah.
We got a question. Kevin, this is from Jude's Magoots. Who wins, United Airlines or a can of Pepsi?
Holy shit.
Wait, is there something in the news about Pepsi that I missed?
No, it's just too bad, horrible PR.
Wait, really? Wait, do you not know that?
Yeah.
I know about United. I haven't heard anything about Pepsi.
You don't know about the
Holy shit.
You never saw the Kylie Jenner ad?
Oh
my God.
Okay, so Pepsi released like this 3-minute ad on YouTube or whatever that was like a short film where there's like a generic protest with like everybody of every sort of race or ethnicity or type is marching with generic type protest signs, and they walk by Kylie Jenner, who's on a first floor studio with the doors open, and she's looking like Lady Gaga went through the spin cycle or something. And she sees like this cute protester boy with like a skull cap or whatever. And she realizes that there's a protest going on. So she takes off her stupid wig and suddenly changes from her Lady Gaga outfit into an all denim ensemble, walks up through the protesters, comes to the head of the protest group, which is like up near a police line. She grabs a Pepsi can, fist bumps one of the protesters up front, and just walks up to a police officer who is unarmed, by the way. These officers are just unarmed.
Yeah.
I think only one of them is wearing a riot helmet, but these four or five unarmed police officers. She just casually walks up and hands a Pepsi to one of the cops, and the cop just smiles, and there you go.
Okay.
And it was arguably the most tone-deaf ad of the last, I don't know how many years.
That's lame.
Yes.
Andrew, this is from John Murphy. Can we start a GoFundMe for Miles Garrett and Malcolm Butler?
You tell me where to donate, buddy.
I don't think they're going to get Miles Garrett, but I've tweeted out, and I've like saved the tweet. You are going to read at least one story on ProFootballTalk.com between now and the draft that the Saints and Cleveland are in serious discussions for the number one pick. I'm telling you. And me and Kevin are being like, we're going to be like in sweats, like texting each other. They're not going to do, they're not going to do this. How many number one picks are they going to give up? Kevin, over under Breeze's passer rating is 108.5 in 2017 if they get Christian McCaffrey. White Bush, as I like to call it.
I mean, I'm White going, Reggie. Listen, I would take the under on that anyway. I mean, 108.5 is pretty high. I don't think, I mean, when was
that? That would be the best of his career.
Well, then shit, that ain't happening, Ralph. I mean, shit, I'd bet the house on that, man. Now, if you'd have said, let's see, if you'd have said maybe 94.5, then you're going debatable.
Well, I mean, you gotta be optimistic. It's April.
What do you Actually, want? That's not true. His best ever was 110. I take that back. 110.6 in 2011.
Andrew, I have an actual football question. Dylan asks, would you rather have Tracy Porter on vet minimum deal or a rookie undrafted free agent at corner?
Tracy Porter. Not even close.
Do we not
remember what the Devontae Harrison, Kenny Crawley experience felt like last year?
Yeah, it was not.
Pleasant. Have we already forgotten?
Would you, this is from Eric, would you trade 11, the 2017 Saints number 11 pick for 1 year of peak Pat Swilling? Ooh, that's a good question.
Because
peak Pat Swilling.
That's a YOLO question.
I don't know. You know, if it was multiple years, I'd say absolutely, of course.
You get 17 and a half sacks and the defensive player of the year and like four fumble recoveries and two picks. Pat Swilling, 1991 Swilling is awesome.
I'd take
1 year of Pat Swilling.
1 year.
I'd take it. They're going to fuck up the pick anyway.
Let's see. I think that...
By the way, little known fact, Saints' current backup QB, Chase Daniel, in 2012 had a 108.3 quarterback rating because he went 1-for-1 and completed a 10-yard pass.
That only gets you a 108?
Apparently.
This is from Bob. Ralph, you posted a dozen mock drafts on Twitter. How many did you do and not post? About twice that many. I'm not gonna lie, Bob. I do a lot of mock drafts. The one thing I will say that really, for whatever reason, last night got me in a rage was when I do the mock drafts, I try to simulate. Like, I'm like, okay, in this draft, the Saints have to give up 32 for Malcolm Butler. Or this draft, they have to give up 42 for Malcolm Butler. So usually I just like propose a trade to New England where I'm like, I'll trade you number 42 for your fourth round pick, or I'll trade you number 32 for your fourth round pick. And they accept it because no one will fucking do that in real life. But the computer just said, last night, New England was like, no, we're not taking number 32 for a fourth round pick.
Ralph.
What's that?
Your trade sucks.
Bill Belichick was like, no, I'm not doing it. Give me more. So I had to, so to get it to go through, I had to trade them number 32 for New England's fourth round pick and a future fifth round pick to make them accept it, which is insane. But anyway, so I was in a rage. So yeah, I do a lot of mock drafts. I can't do them on my phone at work because the screen is too small. But if I could, I would. So that about wraps up this podcast. You know, thanks everybody for donating. Dave, we got the Katrina season will be the May episode of Saints Drunk History. We've already had 1,500 people listen to the NFC Championship. Kevin, I don't remember which ones me and you are going to do, but you're next up to bat, and they'll be fantastic because people love them, and the Drunk Saints Histories are phenomenal. So thanks, everybody, for doing that. You can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got Moneyball draft things up there. They got other podcasts. They got Andrew actually does his mock drafts on the simulator and then posts them as like an article for instead of just doing it as a tweet like I do. And Dave will have his Saints preview in November. And me and Kevin are on the Twitters. That about wraps it up for this show. Until next week, the bar is closed.
#bodybag.